say to the wind, the Lord, that the Lord God said, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain that they may live. Now the word breath, or the word wind here, and the word breath here, it not only does it mean the wind, but it means the breath of life. It means the same breath that God put in the Adam, that he's saying to the wind. He said, wherever you are in the wind, he said, I need that breath back. I need it to come right back. Do I have any witnesses here? And so what he's saying here, you need some spirit. Oh, you need the breath of life, the spirit of life that makes you alive. He said, I need you to come to the slain. Notice what he said, to the slain, because some of us have been slain sometimes. We've been slain by people. We've been slain by situations. And sometimes we slay ourselves by causing trouble for ourselves. But so what? How I got slain? All I know is that he spoke to the wind and said, come to the slain, the ones that been beat up. Blow into the breath of life. The ones who've been lied off, blow the breath of life. The ones who've been backstabbed, blow the breath of life in them. The ones who've been sick in their body, blow the breath of life in them. The ones who people say, you crazy, blow the breath of life in them. Do I have anybody that the Lord is blowing the breath of life in? Somebody who's been slain. I've been broke down. I've almost been destroyed because the devil tried to sift me as wheat. But the Lord breathe on me. Do I have anybody here that the Lord has breathed on me? All I can say, breath of life, why don't you breathe on me? Because I need you in my life. When they tried to slay me, I lifted up my hands and said, oh Lord, just breathe on me. Come on and shout yes here and give God some glory. Let's go on to verse number 10. He said, and he says in verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came in them, and they began.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
We are dealing with the subject of faith, and we began in Hebrews 11th chapter, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verses 1 through 6, and just as a recap for those who, and a refresher, and to bring those who may not have been here up to date, We dealt with those first six verses, and in those six verses, we discovered the order, the operation, and the outcome of faith. It kind of set the stage for the rest of what follows. In those six verses, we saw both principles and personalities within them. And it helps us to understand as we go on this Christian journey and grow in faith how to operate the way these people who are listed in what has been called Faith's Hall of Fame. And one of the things that you will understand about faith is, according to that third verse, it says, through faith we understand that God framed the worlds by his word. And so that literally means that when we understand how everything that we speak in life, we frame it up with our words. Our faith backs it up and brings it to pass. God gives us an illustration of that. And when we go back into the book of Genesis chapter 1, we see the same formula that we find in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. God utilized himself. And so when we begin to understand that we're made in his image and in his likeness, the power as believers that he has given to us to speak those things that be not as though they were, to be able to call into existence things that we see in the spirit realm and manifest them in the natural realm, comes from a formula in God's word. In other words, you never please God, according to the sixth verse of Hebrews 11, without faith. Faith is that conduit. Faith is that portal. Faith is that avenue by which every communication and blessing comes through. And so without it there, it cannot be transferred from heaven to earth. It cannot be transferred from God to the believer. And so you have to establish that so that it can come through, have a passageway or a right of way to come to you. And faith must be used. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Not ask God for things in faith, not use faith every now and then. But the word live means as you breathe. It literally means and is in the context of everyday life. Everyday life. Every day should be filled with you operating in faith. You walking in faith, you talking in faith, you living in faith. Everything should be done in faith. And when you do that, especially recognizing that there are things that faith produces that nothing else will, then you start learning to live above and not beneath. You learn how to become the head and not the tail. You learn how to take authority over things in your life. And then you realize that even if God won't change the things in your life, he'll change how you feel about the things in your life. He'll give you strength and power to endure things because God is bragging on you that you are a believer, that you are a receiver, that you're going to go through some things and you're not going to quit and give up and act like a whiny baby because you are a believer who trusts God's word. And so when we begin to look at that, it makes a lot of sense. When we walk through the fourth and the fifth verse dealing with the personalities who operated in faith, it talks about Abel working in faith and giving God his best gifts. Verse 5 talks about Enoch, who was translated because God took him because his walk was so wonderful with God. And now in verse 7, we're dealing with Noah and his wisdom by faith. So verse 7 starts off by saying, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen as yet, listen to what he did. Moved by faith or fear, because that's the same word, I'll break it down for you. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. Now, that verse might not say a whole lot in just its raw state, but when you dig in and understand it, let's go back to the beginning of the verse. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen or not seen as yet. Now, one of the things that you got to realize is, again, faith is spiritual. Faith is always beginning in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm, and this is the operation of faith, in the spirit realm, it has to have its beginning there for it to materialize and be worth anything in the natural realm. It's in the spiritual realm, meaning it's in God's word. It's in that God has ordered and ordained. But secondly, it's that seen in the spirit realm, not with the natural eyes. All right? Noah being warned of God of things as not yet seen or seen as yet means that he didn't see it in the natural realm. He saw it in the spiritual realm because God said it to him. So you got God's word, which is the foundation for which we operate in faith, for which we see things in faith. He didn't see this in the natural. He saw it in the spiritual. And so as a result of that, he began to move with fear. Now the word says fear because it's a reverential fear. It's not a scary fear like us. We're scared of monsters. It's a reverential fear, meaning that he takes his note from God. He hears the voice of God, and he honors God because he knows God is creator and God is all-powerful. And so if God chose to warn him, then he had better heed to that warning. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. All right, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, what Noah wasn't was a fool. So the first thing he did was he moved in fear, which was faith, because it was honoring and reverentially respecting God. So when God speaks to us, it's important for us to move quickly. And one of the three things that you see here is that he moved with fear, that means fast. He prepared an ark, that means he followed through. He didn't just start and then got discouraged and quit. He followed through. And then it says, to the saving of his house, that means his family was saved. All because he was wise enough to hear the warning of God. Now, in our day and time, we have Doppler storm, weather satellite, we have the Titan 9, and all of these are devices that are designed to measure the atmospheric changes and to warn us of impending inclement weather. Look at God. Now, that we have in modern technology gives us a short warning. God had his own system in place and warned Noah 120 years before rain ever fell that it was going to flood. Now, I ask you, my brothers and sisters, when you realize that God gives us the greatest advantage over anything that man can come up with, anything that man utilizes, God gives us, when we hear God, especially when we heed God, and in his warning to us, he saves us. Here's something interesting. He didn't save Noah from the flood. He saved Noah in the flood. But before the flood came, he told Noah that the flood was coming. So when the flood showed up, he didn't freak out. Listen at me now. The record is that he, Noah, moved with fear, moved with faith, if you will, because he heard what God said. He then began to build the ark, prepared an ark. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. When it talks about prepared the ark, and if you know the story, he both prepared and preached at the same time. He's dead in here, nail it. Telling everybody to come by, it's going to rain. Better get yourself together. Now, here's the thing. Most of you all know that it had never rained before. So because it had never rained before, the message was a message of faith. It had not happened. No one had ever seen it. They were used to water in pools and streams, in lakes, in rivers, in the oceans. They were used to water in terms of dew and moisture, but they had never experienced water falling from heaven. So it was a message of faith that he was preaching that everybody wasn't hearing. Now, thank God Noah had the kind of faith that many of us don't have. Because when people don't hear us, we get all discouraged and we act like we want to throw in our preaching credentials and not preach no more because they're not hearing us. God has had preachers to deal with people not hearing for a long time. You ain't the first one that folk ignore, so don't think you're going to be the last one. But listen, God has said that he will honor his word, and his word will not come back void. It does not matter if they won't hear you. You got to say it. See, you don't realize the power of the preached word when it's preached perfectly. It creates things. It changes things. It reorganizes things. It recreates things. It restores things. Here, Ezekiel was called to go and preach to a valley full of dead, dry bones. Wasn't no ears. Wasn't no minds. Wasn't no mouths. Wasn't no living flesh that he was preaching to. He was preaching to dead, dry bones. And here's what he said. All ye, called them what they were, dry bones. Here's what I want you to do, dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Well, now, what are they going to hear? They ain't have no ears. But God told him to say that. So he spoke to the dry bones what God told him. He spoke the word in faith, believing what God told him to say, and he said just that. And when he finished saying what he said, God told him to call the four winds of the earth. Blow on these bones. And all of the bones, after the shaking and all of that, and the bones coming together, bone to its bone and on, then life came into those bones. And it all happened by the power of the preached or spoken word. See, what you got to realize is the word has the ability to create what isn't there. So don't you get foolish and get caught up in the seen when he has given you the principles of the unseen. It don't have to be there for you to speak it there. You don't get discouraged because you don't see it. What you need to say is, because I don't see it, I need to speak it so I can see it materialize. The word of God gives us the reference that if it's in the word of God, if it is our foundation, if it is that God has already given us the background or the foundation of, then we have the right to speak it as God said it. And God has to perform it. You see, I think most folk utilize faith in an erroneous way. Many folk are afraid to believe God because they think they've got to do the producing of the thing. That's not your job. Your job is to believe God's going to do it. That God has the power. Your faith is to line up with what he said. It's got to be impossible for it to be faith in the first place. Because if it's possible and if it's seen, it don't need no faith. So you got to start off working with the impossible. I expect a miracle every day. Every day. God will make a way out of no way. I expect the impossible. I feel the intangible. I see the invisible. Why? Because I'm operating in faith. If I had the possible with me, I wouldn't have to deal with the impossible. But because I have to deal more with the impossible, I need faith to bring it from heaven to earth, to manifest it, to call it out, to call it into existence. And that's where the medium of faith comes into play. And so this man of God preached and prepared the ark. Never stopped working on it. 120 years. Can you wrap your mind around that? 120 years for however long you've ever worked on anybody's job and then retired. Listen at this. This man has done it far more and longer than you doing the same job. Listen, do you really think he got help from outsiders? No, he just kept on having children and sons and got them to help him out and the family to help him out and everybody that was connected to him to help him out because he was the man of his house. He didn't build it by himself. He built it under the auspices of God's direction and with the help of those connected to him, be it servants, family, etc. But he didn't have the world participating. And so the word of God says he moved with fear. He hurried up. He did fastly what God called him to do. So then that was to prepare the ark. While preparing the ark, he's preaching the gospel. So here's the thing. He didn't prepare the ark first and then preach a few days. He preached the same time he was preparing the ark. 120 years. So this is why this message gets more intense as it goes, because you're going to find out in the text that he, through doing what God says, through operating in wisdom, through getting the knowledge from God, who operated in fear, created what God gave him the power to do, and then it says, to the saving of his house. Meaning, and if you know the story, there were only 8 folks saved. And that was his family. Amen. His family. Then the Bible says, by the which he condemned the world. Noah condemned the world. Now when you think about that, you would think that God condemned the world. But the record says, Noah, by which he condemned the world. Now here's how he did it, and I need you to see it. It was actually God doing it through his word, but he used Noah to put a face on it, if you will. Because here's how this goes. Noah's preaching 120 years. People are passing by watching him construct this big ark, asking him, what is this for? Noah's saying one day it's going to start raining. It's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. It's not going to stop raining until this world has been flooded out. And only people who are going to be saved are the people who come into the ark before the rain starts. Now, everybody who comes into the ark before the rain starts, once the doors are closed, they can't be opened up again. So he's telling everybody this same story so they understand what he's talking about. So now, 120 years has passed, and now the water, the drips, the rain starts coming. Noah has gathered up 2 of everything, put it in the ark, and he has done what God has ordained him to do. And as the rain is coming down and he's completed his assignment, he starts pulling up the door and locking it. Now, the rain keeps coming. Well, at first, the rain is cool, crisp, and refreshing. Ooh, this is nice. This is nice. There's rain. Oh, start getting wet. And like, this is different. And the rain kept coming. And then rain started wetting up stuff that wasn't used to being wet up. And so that were things that were not built for rain. They weren't built for floods. So their houses and their lands became loose and slid and fell down and came down because it was used to being a dry climate. Now, the lower land areas started flooding first. Now, as they started flooding, they ran to high ground. Can I also tell you that the ark was built on high ground? So they got the bright idea, wait a minute, Noah told us about this. Let's go get in that ark, man. But by the time they got to the ark, the door was shut and locked, and they're knocking on the door. Noah, let us in. It's your neighbor, your friend, your buddy, your hair, whatever. It didn't matter. Noah said, the doors are locked, and they cannot be opened until the rain stops. Now, that's how he condemned them, the world, because he could not open up the doors. So that meant everyone who did not come in on time got drowned. They were condemned to their own unbelief. So by that, he became heir. Heir. And he became of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, one of the things that I think you need to understand about faith is you are righteous in two ways. You are righteous positionally and conditionally. Okay? Now, Noah was righteous. Notice he became the righteousness, which is by faith. That literally means that he was positionally made righteous. Doesn't mean he was without sin. Doesn't mean he didn't have any shortcomings. Didn't mean that he had made mistakes. But he became righteous by faith, by believing and trusting and doing what God said. He heard God and he heeded God. And as a result of that, God positionally made him righteous. You see, when you think about it, it's by faith that we become righteous, that we accept the Son of God. It's by faith that God erases from us our sins. It's not like he gave us we started off with a clean slate. The truth of the matter is, he took everything that was on our slate and covered it with the blood, removing it from his sight and cleansing us from it. But he did that because of faith. And our righteousness is because of faith, not because we have been all that we're supposed to be. But here's what the truth is. He did what God said do by faith. And that made, and you walk through this chapter, you're going to find a lot of this. Righteousness is by faith. Righteousness is by faith. And all of this is by faith. Because what God wants us to understand is that the faith that we live by comes from the faith that the Son of God had in giving up his life, and believing that in giving to us the opportunity to live by faith, we would accept him, and that we would come into the fullness of the knowledge and be saved and become righteous because of him, not because of ourselves. Now, conditionally, we are conditioned to live righteous. See, he didn't save us positionally to live unrighteously. So he gives us a beginning, a fresh start of positionally being made righteous when we by faith accept him, when we by faith operate in him, and by faith receive the outcome from him. It's all done by faith, and by faith means that we have trusted the word of God. And when we trust the word of God, in essence, we trust God. And when we trust God, God honors us because of his word. Yes. Listen, God is something about his word. Yes. You want to get God excited? Get excited about his word. Yes. Remind God of what he said. Yes. In his word. There ain't nothing you can tell God that's more exciting than his own word. Right. So when you are able to repeat his word, recite his word, when you are able to hold him to his word, he gets excited not about you, but about you having his word. And so that's just the same way it is about his son. When you love his son, then he loves you because you love his son. And when you